The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Wealth, fame, power. Kevin Feige gained everything this world had to offer, and he left it all in one place. 2019. Welcome to Critical Blunder, the show where we take a look at the biggest fumbles in cinematic history and attempt to break down just what went wrong.
My name is Jordan McRamsing, and I'll be your host. I've been watching four-hour video essays on box office flops for as long as I can remember, which makes me uniquely qualified to analyze things like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Joined with me today, we have our audio assist, Tiago.
Hello there. Happy to be here.
He likes to talk as well, so he's also kind of a co-on-air talent. Not that long ago, you couldn't even go 5 minutes without people talking about the next MCU installment. I mean, I look back to elementary school, and every time a Marvel movie came out, there was a couple weeks of hype, and then immediately everyone's thinking about what comes next. But nowadays, Disney has a hard time getting any Marvel movies to break even. But the question is, how did it happen? How do you go from pulling out multiple of the highest grossing films of all time to then cranking out back-to-back box office bombs? Today, that is exactly what we'll be figuring out. With that in mind, I'm Jordan with Critical Blunder, and let's get right into the show.
It's time for Critical Blunder!
What the heck happened here?
That's disappointing.
Welcome to Critical Blunder.
This is Critical Blunder. Welcome to Critical Blunder. This is our first episode, and what Critical Blunder is, it's a series where we as a team, we dig into some of the biggest falls from grace in media history, and we do some research to try and figure out exactly why all of these big franchises may have crashed and burned. And the topic of discussion for our first episode is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think we can start with a little background information about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So you go back to, 2008, I think?
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
2008, I believe, is the first Iron Man movie comes out. And that movie is a breakaway hit. Nobody expects it because, honestly, at that point in time, if you're a comic fan, you know who Iron Man is. But the general audience didn't really know. Pretty soon after that, we get Thor and Captain America. And it just keeps growing and growing. We get the Avengers movie in 2012, which is the first big crossover. And then they learned how well crossovers do, which that may have been the undoing of the MCU.
Yeah.
So after they do the Avengers, we get some more movies, Phase 2. We introduce characters like Ant-Man. We introduce the Winter Soldier, the Falcon, and a bunch of other iconic heroes. And then we get Avengers Age of Ultron, which I personally loved that movie. I was 8 years old when it came out, so that might have had something to do with it. But to this day, I do think that Ultron has the coldest entrance of any villain in the entire MCU, and no one can convince me otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
As we progress forward, the MCU starts to peak, really, after after Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Because after that, we get Iron Man 3, which, kind of a bad example, but we get Iron Man 3, we get Civil War, which is my personal favorite MCU movie.
Yeah.
We get other films.
Guardians 2.
Yes, we get
Thor Ragnarok. Black
Panther, which I've changed my mind. I think that just might be my favorite. That's not my favorite superhero movie, but I grew up just obsessed with Black Panther.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was so hyped up for that movie, and it did not disappoint at all. We get Spider-Man Homecoming, huge success. We get so many huge movies, and it all builds up to, I think, probably the biggest event in cinema history we have ever seen, Avengers Infinity War. And then we get to Endgame, which was also a massive success, and a lot of people loved it. I thought it was pretty good, but I will say I don't think it lived up to Infinity War at all. And to me, I think this is where we get to, like, the beginning of the end. So normally in Critical Blunder, in terms of my format and how I pitched this to Spirit Live, I said I would be bringing on a special guest every week. I am off to a strong start because our guest this week is nobody. Tiago and I agreed that it would probably be better to start off this podcast with just us, so you can get a feel for kind of our dynamic and you don't end up missing the first guest in the next episode. And our unique qualifications are we were both obsessed with Marvel in its heyday.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the same for you, Tiago, but I try to keep up with Marvel still. I've seen most of the movies.
Yeah, it's about the same. I've tried my best to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely been easier in recent time, I will say.
I think the first question we got to discuss here is, where was the fall off like most visible for the first time?
In my opinion, and this is going to be a bit of a spicy one. It was the introduction with TV shows. There are some really good TV shows that Marvel came out with. WandaVision is great. Hawkeye was great. Moon Knight is one of my favorite Marvel properties, period, or in the MCU. But the fact that they spent so much time pumping out TV shows that it kind of left the movies lacking, which is where people were really going for.
I do agree. I think they spread themselves thin. And I actually, you say it's a spicy one, but I do actually completely agree. I think that the beginning of the end for the Marvel Cinematic Universe was, even though I think the show is great, WandaVision.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking in terms of quality, I definitely don't think WandaVision is the beginning of the end. I think the decline in quality, we'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely know exactly what property I have in mind for the one that marks the beginning of the big decline in quality. There are a few outliers from throughout from the heyday of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never stop being a generational Ant-Man and the Wasp hater. I do definitely think that the beginning of the end for the, I guess, monetary side and the commercial success of Marvel was the introduction of the streaming services. Because what happened was, after Endgame, they start seeing the successes of Netflix series like Stranger Things, Riverdale, love it or hate it. All of these huge properties off of streaming, and then I think around the same time we're getting like Euphoria, we're getting all of these things from HBO, Prime, and Netflix. And then Disney decides, okay, we're a titan in the industry. And they look at all of their properties and realize, if we start our own streaming platform, we're going to make a ton of money. And that's exactly what they do. They start doing Disney Plus, and it's like built on the idea that if we have a streaming platform, this place is going to have exclusive Marvel Cinematic Universe content. It's going to have exclusive Star Wars content. And it's going to have all these exclusive things to build onto these huge IPs. And that's what's going to bring people to the platform. However, speaking from experience, that did not bring me to the platform.
No.
Because I was like 12 and I didn't want to ask my parents to subscribe to another streaming platform so we could watch WandaVision. So I do think, in tandem with WandaVision, I think Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is the end, is the thing that kind of did in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in terms of its commercial bombing now. Because you're making a face. I think you have words you want to say about Multiverse of Mid.
I do like that movie.
Ooh.
It's not the best Marvel movie of all time, but I think for what it was trying to do, I think it did a good job. Multiverse of Madness is where the biggest decline happens, because in order to understand the first Avengers, you need to watch the Iron Man movies, Captain America, and Thor.
Yeah.
Maybe Incredible Hulk. That's a maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, Incredible Hulk, they kind of just completely abandoned everything about that character, which I don't like. I actually kind of enjoyed that movie.
Because
we completely forgot to mention it. We're here talking about the MCU. We completely forget one of the... It's such a forgettable...
Man.
Okay, I can't even lie. Incredible Hulk is such a forgettable movie that we completely neglected to mention it. Because we completely, like...
That is one of the core six, and we forgot.
It's one of the foundational movies of the MCU, and we completely forgot about it. So I guess it's understandable why they wanted to throw it away.
But putting Incredible Hulk aside...
All of these characters were already established before the Avengers movie.
Yeah, so you have everything in culmination towards this movie. But for Multiverse of Madness, in order to understand even the basic plot of what's happening there, you need to watch all of WandaVision. You need to watch the first Doctor Strange, which makes sense.
Yeah, you need to watch all of the Marvel movies preceding Age of Ultron, because you need to be able to understand, and then you have to watch Civil War for sure.
Technically, Infinity War as well, so you understand why Vision isn't there.
When we had the MCU, when it was just movies, and now when you introduce TV shows and you're mixing medias, it starts to get a little bit more difficult for the general audience to follow. If you're dedicated to the MCU, it's not difficult to follow at all.
Right.
But you gotta remember, Marvel movies aren't made for superfans. No comic book movies are made for the superfans.
No.
They're made for general audiences. No matter how much, like, superfans will come in droves to watch a movie, if you can't captivate the general audience, the movie's gonna bomb. I think this is where we come around to talk about where the writing declined for the MCU.
Yeah.
Around the time of Infinity War, they start bringing in new writers, and the focus has drastically shifted to be everything in service of the multiverse. Everything building up to the crossovers. And this is, like, after the Infinity War era.
If you look at the timeline, 2008, when the first Iron Man movie came out, to what was it? When did Endgame come out?
2019.
You had 4 Avengers movies in the span of 7 years. Yeah.
It will have been 7 years since the last Avengers movie when this new one comes out.
And we've had, what, 1 crossover with an asterisk on it, technically?
Exactly. And that's I think that's the thing. All of these movies have been building up to a crossover, and there's been no crossover.
Where has the crossover been?
And don't get us wrong. This isn't us asking for a crossover because, like, I personally think that them trying to build towards a crossover is the reason there's been such a huge, steep decline in quality.
Mm-hmm.
However, if they're going to build towards a crossover, I expect a crossover to actually happen.
The only semblance of a crossover we've had since Endgame is Thunderbolts, which was a this year movie. And we'll probably get to that later. But I think the most recent Marvel projects have taken a sort of step back and have gone back to those good
precisely. So, that's exactly what we're going to get to in a moment. But I think in terms of the writing, I can definitely say the point where I think the writing started to decline, and this is going to be a very controversial take.
Oh, I'm interested.
This is going to be an extremely controversial take. Although I've seen people agree with it online, but I think most people absolutely adored this movie. I think that the movie, which spells the decline in writing, was No Way Home. In that movie, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire reprise their roles as Spider-Man. They come from their own universes. And I think the movie works very well as an ending to both of those characters. However, I will say I don't really like the plot of the movie. Now that I'm looking in retrospect, I do think the plot of the movie is heavily carried by the fact that these are great portrayals of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But the plot is relatively nonsensical.
The plot of the movie was never really the point.
I do agree.
Because the whole... If you're looking at No Way Home as an event movie, then yes, it is a outstanding, fantastic,
amazing
movie.
Event movie. I think my point still stands that is the beginning of the end, or that is like the first instance of weak writing in service of hype moments and aura.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Don't get me wrong, hype moments and aura can go crazy like they did in No Way Home, but I think a lot of the MCU projects after that started being focused on like drumming up hype.
You can't build a narrative on just hype moments and aura.
Exactly. I enjoyed Moon Knight. I enjoyed WandaVision a lot. But I do think a lot of these other projects, like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, heavily suffers from like the hype moments and aura train. I think around this time, they start bringing in writers who can be strong-armed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start putting a heavy focus on crossovers and building the expanded universe, which in theory it's good, but it's at the expense of a stronger story.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these movies, they're all meant to build upon each other. But they don't build their own story as they go.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the TV shows. We've established where we think the commercial failures started to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've established where we think the writing failures started to happen. I want to address something that I think is where a lot of the public backlash started to happen. Or a lot of the fan base, the dedicated fan base backlash started to happen. The casting of Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. Now, I think the ending of Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Iron Man, in Avengers Endgame is extremely well done. But it's so cheapened by the fact that we're getting him right back to play Doctor Doom. And I think that soured a lot of people's opinions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. A lot of the fans were like, that was the moment that made them want to drop off.
Yeah, obviously the reveal was meant to be, oh my god, he's back, I can't believe it. The biggest worry when he was initially announced was, are they going to do the character justice? Or are they going to make him just, because of the whole multiversal stuff, a variant of Iron Man?
Mm-hmm.
Which would have really soured the character, because Doctor Doom is a big character in the comic. He's a big character in Marvel, period.
Especially before Infinity War, if you ask anybody, I guess, who the big Marvel villain is, actually, they'd probably say Loki because of the MCU.
Pre-MCU,
it's 100% Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom is everywhere. For anyone unaware, Doctor Doom's entire character is based off of being a generational hater and the absolute, like, just absolutely hating. His entire character is based around hating Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he goes against other heroes at times, but that's mostly because of separate issues. A lot of people are concerned that because they've made him look just like Tony Stark, they're going to focus on Spider-Man and Doctor Doom as a hero-villain relationship. and completely ignore the, like, dynamic between Dr. Doom and Mr. Fantastic, which is one of the greatest hero-villain dynamics in all of superhero media. If anything, I kind of think that the post-credit scene of Fantastic Four First Steps, it heavily implies that this Dr. Doom comes from a different universe, is doing multiversal travel, which I don't like at all, because, I mean, I don't appreciate the idea of this Dr. Doom coming from a different universe as a Reed Richards, because it just further diminishes their dynamic.
The multiversal thing would have worked if Kang was still the main villain.
Yes.
But because of the whole thing with Jonathan Majors,
Big point we didn't even mention.
Yeah.
That's another thing. They had to completely pivot in terms of writing after allegations came out against Jonathan Majors, who was playing Kang the Conqueror. And Kang the Conqueror was set up to be the main villain of this whole phase of the MCU, and then they switched it to be Dr. Doom.
That, I think, is one of the biggest downfalls, is while wanting to be a connected universe, you need to have a plan. But the fact that they overplanned,
they locked themselves into a corner, and, like,
yeah,
any new ideas that come up, they have to write them out, and then you get a bunch of people who have to write something that they're being very heavily restricted by this huge road plan.
You have things like Eternals or Shang-Chi that don't go anywhere and are just sort of stuck in this weird limbo stage of they want to do something but can't.
Now we're going to do a little segment that I would like to call the elimination game. So what exactly are we doing here? What's the title of the show?
Critical Blunder.
Exactly. And so we've gone over a bunch of blunders that have brought the MCU to its knees in recent years. But the question is, which one of those was the critical blunder? What is the one thing, what moment can we point to and say, that is what ended the MCU? That is what made the MCU crash and burn. So we're going to go through these different blunders that we've listed out and figure out exactly which one was the critical point of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Writing being reduced to hype moments in Aura. The move to streaming services for TV shows creating a hybrid universe. Bringing back old actors to play new characters. Everything being in service of crossovers. We have too detailed of a roadmap causing writers to be backed into a corner. So, out of all of those, which would you say is the least consequential?
I think the least consequential thing would probably be having everything be dedicated to a crossover. Because you have to admit, that was how things started. In the beginning. The first five movies.
Mm-hmm. We definitely didn't forget Incredible Hulk and then re-record the segment.
Nope. Can't forget that movie. But the first five films were all building towards the first Avengers.
Exactly.
Even with the first Iron Man, which had its own end credit scene, you're already introducing Nick Fury in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was building towards something.
But I think we're in agreement that everything being in service of crossover is the least consequential, because it's kind of an issue now that compounds on top of all of these other things, whereas before it was kind of already the case, but it was working for them still. I do think that the next least consequential one would probably be the bringing back of old actors.
Yeah. Because it can work with the right circumstances. Like I said, I was a big defender of RDJ coming back as Dr. Doom.
And there's so many ways that they could go that are fine. So I definitely do think that it's one of the less consequential issues. It was just one of those more nail in the coffin type things where it turned off a lot of big fans.
As long as they do the character right.
Out of the three ones that we have left, which are Hype Moment and Aura, the hybrid universe, and the too detailed of a roadmap, I don't know if we're agreement on this, but I think, because I know you brought this up as right. your thing. I feel like being written into a corner by the roadmap is one of the lesser issues. I think that would be the next one to knock out.
Especially because they've slowed down.
Yes, they've slowed down greatly. And I think that detailed roadmap, I think the main issue with it was planning out every different film and project that was supposed to come out. But they've cut like half of those projects.
Yeah.
And now they're focusing. I think that roadmap being too detailed wasn't as much of an issue because
they cut back.
Yeah. It was easy to cut back and easy to recover from, whereas some of these last two issues are a little borderline impossible to recover from. I do think that the last one that we got to knock out is the writing being focused on hype moments and Aura.
Because I very much agree for two reasons, which is because at the end of the day, these are superhero movies. You do go to them for the action.
Exactly.
Very rarely are you going to find someone saying, oh, I went to go see all of the Marvel movies for the Tony Stark character arc. No, you went to the movies for the action and came out of it enjoying the character arcs underneath all that.
That leaves us with one issue, which I have been adamant for years that this was the biggest thing that did in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Hybrid universe.
Yep.
Bringing in streaming. That is what did in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I personally believe, no matter how good the show actually is, episode one of WandaVision was the critical blunder.
In the beginning, it was just movies. And you knew, okay, a new movie comes out. It's going to connect to the previous one. Now that there are TV shows, not only were things released at relatively the same time, but in the beginning, there was just so much.
You have WandaVision, which is great. You have Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which was all right. Falcon and the Winter Soldier should have been a movie.
Should have been a movie. It should have been the newest Captain America movie. Or, well, an interlude between, I guess, the eventual Brave New World that came out.
Which I did not enjoy. Who are the villains of this movie? I'm going to consider Sabra a villain because she is a villain in the comics.
Yeah.
It's her, the leader, and the Red Hulk.
And the Red Hulk, yeah.
All three of those are Hulk villains! All three antagonist characters. Sorry, I'm yelling and I'm making him turn down my volume. And the Hulk is nowhere to be seen. They just decided to take his villains, which are great. He has a great rogues gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Which has never been explored in the MCU. And they give it to Captain America. Mind you, they haven't explored a lot of Captain America's great rogues gallery either. I think if they wanted to make the streaming shows work, they had to be non-required viewing. A TV show is so much more of a commitment than a movie.
Yeah.
And so that immediately throws off so much of the casual audience because they don't have time to come and sit down and watch 8 40-minute episodes of a TV show.
Especially when they decided to release them weekly.
I think we're delving into territory where we're going to get in kind of to our last segment of the show. If/how the MCU can kind of get back to its glory days. First things first, they need to stop making any TV shows that are required viewing. I think it works if the movies are required viewing for the shows. That's what made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. work so well.
Yes.
You had to watch the movies to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you didn't have to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all to watch the movies.
No.
They've already done this, but they've slowed down the production of the movies and focused on 2 to 3 a year.
Projects.
Yeah, 2 to 3 projects per year. They have to give more creative control to directors and writers. They're doing a very good job with the MCU right now.
Yes.
The problem is everyone's so soured from those years of blunders and years of bad quality and bombing that these last movies have been pretty great, I think. I thought Fantastic Four was awesome. However, I did miss the first 30 minutes of the movie and because I found a really good deal on a camera and it was in Richmond Hill, so I had to go get it that day. And that caused me to miss the first 30 minutes of the movie. But I think the 75% of Fantastic Four I watched were... What's a word I can use to describe something that's amazing? Just kind of out of the yeah, spectacular. It was amazing. Super.
Ah, there we go.
Say that again. we're getting all of these films, which they are good movies, but nobody's watching them.
It's just everyone's tired. It's just been so long that people have lost the goodwill.
I think that the DCU is a Marvel killer right now because Superman, what is a word I can use to describe? That was a fantastic movie. Now, I think this is as good of a time as any for us to wrap up this first episode of Critical Blunder. We have discussed all of the little blunders of the MCU, and we've discussed the critical blunders of the MCU. We have discussed what we think they need to do to recover from the blunders of the MCU. And how many more times can I say blunder in this outro? Next time on Critical Blunder, we'll be going over the blunders of my favorite drama television series, Dexter, which is potentially one of the most famous blunders in television history. After that, for the final episode of this season in, I think, like, what is that? It's going to be 4 weeks from now. We're going to be talking about a very extremely popular franchise, probably the most popular franchise on Earth before the MCU and besides Star Wars. Our final episode of the season is going to be focused on Harry Potter. We have words to say about Harry Potter, and there's a reason we're doing it for the final episode of the season. It's because if we get canceled, we are going out on a bang. Without further ado, I've been Jordan. This is
Tiago.
And thank you for listening to the first episode of Critical Blunder. See you next time.